Good morning, Mr. Salter. Could you please state your name for the record?
Bob Salter.
Okay. So, sir, thank you for coming today. And just on the record, this isn't something to get all your trade secrets out and the mysteries of the great Bob Salter out, but just to get some information about you that maybe you could impart some lessons learned that you had and give us a bit of background, elaborate as you feel necessary. Please just give us all you have as much as you're willing to.
Sure.
To give, sir. Starting from, let's say, back when you were a young man, say for instance in high school, did you know that you had a drive to serve, and did you know that you want to serve to the state of Texas?
I suppose it was probably not really appreciated until we got down here. Mm-hmm. High school was great. I was in band.
Okay. What instrument did you play?
I played clarinet.
Okay.
I was a drum major.
Wow. Yeah. Man. Okay.
But, nothing to be real happy about that. We didn't do any dancing and that sort of thing. But it was a tremendous atmosphere at high school. People, liked each other.
Right.
And it was a good place.
Cool.
Good
and place. Then moving there to college, how did that experience
unfold? We went to Stetson University there in Florida, and stayed really only 2.5 years. Excellent program there. It was a religious,
Was it a Christian school or?
Christian school, okay. And they did a fantastic job from standpoint of trying to make you comfortable and still get all the education that they were pouring out. After 2.5 years there, though, I decided to leave. Mm-hmm. It sort of got humdrum,
right.
And I decided I just need to make a change. And so I dropped out and volunteered my draft in the military.
Very nice. So you served in the Army. What was your MOS when you first went in?
Well, when I went in, I was just flat foot, with no... they didn't think any talent, whatnot. But it was a good session for me. I had the opportunity to stay in. It was 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I was in a battery clerk's office and didn't have to do all the stuff that most people did.
Right.
And it was a real easy thing, but it was a fantastic deal because most of the officers would come in from time to time, mm-hmm. and we'd sit around and talk just like we were, had stripes on our arms.
Right.
But that was an excellent 2-year deal, but I was glad to get out.
I bet you were. So what was your first duty station, or your only duty station?
Only duty station was Fort Hood, Texas.
Oh, wow, so right here,
and,
right down the street.
It was at North Fort Hood, and they shut it down and put us down to South Fort Hood. And last year and a half, that's where we were, and then when I came on back home. And in the meantime, at that time, I met a girl there in Gatesville.
Okay.
And we
Gatesville, Texas, or Gatesville?
Yeah, Gatesville,
okay.
Texas.
Yes, sir.
And it was just, I guess, a godsend because she was what we were looking for, and I think it was, reciprocal. The big thing about that was she had an attitude that was, waved me over. But basically, we got through the 2 years. We went ahead and got married then. And
right when you got out of the Army?
When I got out of the Army.
Okay.
And we went back to Jacksonville then, and we had to get things in line in order to do what we needed to do. So I had still a year and a half college to finish, and I did that in Jacksonville, Florida. And then when we got through that time, we came back to Texas. At her hometown, Gatesville, big place,
right, huge, metropolitan city.
But we started to go to law school there in Waco, finished that up, and went back to Gatesville and practiced there.
Wow! So
and I stopped my practice in 2005.
So you both went to Baylor at the same time?
No, she didn't go. She didn't get to go to college. We were having children, and
right,
all
right.
And the.
So everything was riding on you.
All the money wasn't there that we needed, you know, all the whole time. But anyway, we made it through.
Absolutely.
And it worked out real fine.
So when you came to Fort Hood in the Army, that was your first taste of Texas.
Right.
Okay, so exactly. How was that transition from Florida to Texas?
That was terrible. We got off of the bus when we were delivered to Fort Hood. And, you know, it looked like a decent place, and they had some air conditioning in there. Mm-hmm. But very quickly, it turned, because the second and third day, they decided they were going to ship us up to North Fort Hood. And we didn't know what to expect, but I got in the back of the truck like everybody else. And when we got to North Fort Hood, we were just covered with dust and dirt and whatnot. But and they pulled up to the place that they ordinarily had the services on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the guy came out there, and he was just spitting, you know, image of, I guess, almost the best officer you've ever heard of. Uh-huh. And he said, "Hello, great." And we were dirty. It was all over.
Yeah.
And anyway, that was our start. But it turned out real well.
Was that basic or was
that basic?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you did basic and everything at Fort Hood?
Well, we did two sets of basic before we got to North Fort Hood.
Okay.
And then I got off on that deal on the inside and didn't do anything but letters and telephone and that sort of thing.
Okay.
Had a tremendous two-year deal.
Okay. So was it there that you knew you wanted to go to law school and become a lawyer?
Well, I knew all the time that I wanted to do that, but I couldn't quite get there because the money wasn't, you know, running around in front of me.
Yes, sir. So you knew back in Florida that your ultimate goal was to be a lawyer.
Right.
But did you know that you wanted to be a legislator as well? Or?
Well, yeah, I'd thought about it. I sat down. We did a strange thing. After she was down there and we were married and whatnot, well, it was a short time, not very, very long, but it was probably about a year and a half. Right at the end of time, we shipped her back because she had a job available out here, and I couldn't get off of what I was doing.
Right,
I had
right.
to finish my degree. It was another 2 months. And then we got together back out in Texas and stayed there.
Oh, wow. So. Okay, so when you first had the idea of becoming a legislator or becoming a public servant, what were the issues that you were like, hey, I want to take those issues up someday?
You could see from, I guess, early in high school that a lot of people didn't care to do the right thing.
Right.
And because of that, my dad was a Baptist minister, and my grandfather was a Baptist minister, and I was.
Did they expect you?
No, I was black sheep in the family. But it was a fantastic arrangement as far as my family was concerned. My dad he worked for a while at an electric plant, and then he became a minister and whatnot, and he preached till he died. But that was a...
You would say that your father and your grandfather put that moral compass in you, and then when you went to school and you were around your peers, you said, hey, I see a need for my moral compass here.
They were, both of them, were very capable and able to make you do something that you didn't want to do, but it was always a good ending.
Absolutely.
In other words, they carried it through, and there wasn't like being very harsh about it, but it was, you know, on and on and on. It didn't stop, and I was very thankful for that.
Right, so they were great leaders, and that helped propel you.
Fantastic.
So when you got to Baylor, did you ever have to take a course called practice court?
I had practice court, of course, in Baylor, we had that three-year law school, and when we got out, it was sort of a bad thing. One of my buddies, and it was not really a related deal, but there was an officer or person in Waco that had one of the highest positions in all of anything that pertains to law.
Okay.
And he took me under his shoulder a little bit, and we visited, and he was very kind and whatnot. And in about the last 2 days before it was my last term, he called me when I went into the room. He said, "You come with me." Mm-hmm. And I went out, and he said, "Bob, I'm very disappointed. I just tell you." And I said, "Well, I'm ashamed. What did I do?" He said, "Well, the board down there, when it went up on the board, you got a B plus." Mm-hmm. And that's what, we didn't expect that.
Wow.
And he walked off.
No.
And I wilted.
Oh, no.
But you
and he was your mentor.
And you talk about wanting to be, you know, standing straight and right. Standing tall and all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I just wilted. But that was probably one of the best real urgings, you know, keep it up and try to stay up and whatnot.
Right.
But that was, there's a lot of good things going on at Baylor.
Okay.
Really good.
So what, describe the transition from law school to the legislature.
Well, the legislature, I thought it was a pack of people that, you know, were very selfish and wanted to do this for themselves.
Before you got into
it? Yeah, before I got into it. And they wanted to hold banners up, you know, and not figure out what was wrong and try to fix it kind of stuff. But as it turned out, and I started to learn as I got down here, you know, people are pretty sympathetic on trying to get everything you need to service what our activity was. Mm-hmm. And it turned out really great. We had people that, you know, would help us in ways that, you know, we didn't even anticipate.
Right. So how was your first campaign, and what kind of platforms did you run on? Like, what, how did you?
My name is Bob Salter, and I want to take care of you. And I try not to do it in a way that it was, outrageous. Mm-hmm. But because a lot of people, it turned me off. When they'd run up and slap you on the back and grin and whatnot, and you could see him when he turned away, it's almost a frown.
Right.
And that won't work. Mm-hmm. But the people, when I started and worked with there in Waco, basically, the big town was Gatesville and Waco, and we were housing there in Waco at the time. But the session of the first, I guess, 5 weeks, mm-hmm, of the place here was just, you know, looking around and finding where in the world is the right, you know, place to be and what, uh-huh, to do and how to do it. But it turned into a fantastic place. We had some people. There was a fellow that sat by me from Waco, and he was the most able and capable person that you can imagine on defining things. And mm-hmm, if you want to know something, I didn't have to look it up. I could just, you know, ask him. But we had people in the whole outfit that was willing and able and careful to do that. Mm-hmm. And this was before, at that time, we were all Democrats, you know,
right,
first term.
Okay.
And we had three Republicans.
Wow.
And we treated them real well, you know, and it was real fun to be around them, uh-huh, because they didn't fly around and do the things. But then it swapped down, you know, a couple of times later. It all turned out. The, mm-hmm, Republicans just swam over it,
uh-huh,
and that was a big change. But it didn't really change the people that were there.
Right.
It was the same thing, Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't make any distinction between the two.
Right.
Because they were good people, good friends, mm-hmm, helpful,
right,
and that sort of thing.
Okay, so after that great first election, what was the issue that your constituency and your district, you know, loaded you with to come here and advocate for?
The only one really that I had any bearing on had to do with the creation of an entity in Waco to start training people for the work that the people do with their hands.
Right.
And
kind of like a trade school? A
trade school. And we had a hard time right at first. And I had a real good guy over in the Senate from Waco, mm-hmm, Murray Watson. I don't know if you know Murray or heard of him or not, but Murray Watson was a tremendous guy from the standpoint of knowing stuff before he got here. And I didn't know stuff before,
right,
I got,
right,
here. And so I hung around with him, and both of us talked about it, and we decided we'd go ahead and try to pass a bill that would create that school. And it was sort of funny. Murray Watson was more capable in a lot of ways than me, but he couldn't get the bill out of the Senate.
Okay.
I got my bill out of the House, and it passed, and they created the school there in Waco. Mm-hmm. And that's turned into a fantastic project.
And what's the name of the school?
It's TSTC. It used to be TSTI, Texas State Technical Institute.
Yeah.
Now it's Texas State Texas College.
Okay.
But, and he had this, he was sort of puffed up that he didn't get to do it, and I did.
Right.
But it was all in friendship.
Absolutely.
And he helped me. He gave me all sorts of information that I needed. And
right.
That sort of thing.
And so was that when you were a freshman?
First.
Wow.
Right out of the box.
Wow.
And to until now, he still, you know, sort of doesn't like it that his bill didn't pass.
Right.
Didn't. But, you know, we had an opportunity that I don't think that, you know, a lot of people did, where somebody like him would go that far to help, even though he couldn't do it because of the politics in the Senate at that time. They just wouldn't do it.
Right.
But we did get it passed, and they're doing stuff now. The base place is in Waco, and they have places, about five places over the state of Texas, and it's all one unit. And it's doing fantastic work on giving people an opportunity to do a job. Mm-hmm.
So
from soup to nuts.
Right. So how important would you say that mentorship and that friendship was across chambers in your first session?
There's nothing like it. I don't think really that I would have had anywhere near the opportunity to, you know, be in something like that. For me, that was the first big deal that happened. First month and a half, and I was just floating around,
right.
You know, but it all came down, and the people that we worked with and worked through and the organization part of it worked out, and there's an opportunity in these places around the state now that are absolutely fabulous. Mm-hmm. It goes from soup to nuts, where it's changing a tire or building some kind of monstrous, you know, a mechanism, something. That place was the crowning glory of anything that I did.
No, that's
if
huge.
If you call it glory.
No, that's huge, and he left a legacy. So, what were that was an issue that was distinctive for your district and for your constituency. But was there a larger issue for the state of Texas that you had to tackle at the time?
Well,
that first session that you participated in.
The one thing is, we had an outsider that wasn't in the Congress, in the legislature, that was a very good friend of mine that I came in touch with right as it started, and his name was Roy Duggar. And Roy was a very unusual guy. He had been in the service before. Mm-hmm. He did all sorts of things concerning principles and then development of actual stuff. Mm-hmm. And sharp as a tack. And he started punching me on the arm and saying, hey, you know, it's going to help us now that we've got this thing passed down there to get those people in the various parts of the state acclimated to doing what this is all about. And it started shooting off just like popcorn. And he was one of the most able persons I've ever been around. He carried me three times to a place up in northeast part of the country because there was people up there that they were doing stuff on this early creation of the mechanical stuff that was being put together. Mm-hmm. And I went up there two or three times with him. And basically, as it came back, we ended up with what we wanted, and that's the development of those schools. And the end of it was, after the third term, I decided I was, you know, go ahead and get out and go to law school. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, well, I had to, you know, get out of here,
right.
And so I've been in Gatesville, a great big place.
Hold on, so you went to law school after serving here?
Right.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, So during your three terms here, what was the crowning moment? Was it the education piece? Was it the school back in Gatesville? Or
I think the big thing was to really appreciate what difficulty there is to have everybody going different ways, mm-hmm. and try to get it back together where you appreciate whatever that principle was,
okay.
and pass it with everybody having a good time. And we didn't have a lot of stuff that was real hard. You know, sometimes people get mad at each other and mm-hmm. not get all that. But we really didn't have that. We mm-hmm. had people that if they got out in left field, somebody put their arm around them, right. rather than, you know, pushing them.
Right.
And I thought we had a real good deal for the three tournaments.
What role did the media play? What was it at? I'm pretty sure it maybe wasn't as pronounced as it is now. But
media was bad sometimes. I had a guy sitting by me. His name was Moore. Very, very interesting guy. Knew an awful lot. Very cordial and all that sort of thing. He wanted to go down to, I don't know, South Texas or across the line down there. But anyway, he wanted to take a little vacation. Mm-hmm.
During session.
But yeah, during session. And he wanted to have my roll call, you know, on the deal.
You buzz them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I didn't think anything about it.
Right.
So when they called the roll, in essence, well, I answered for him and me.
Right.
And somebody in the paper here picked that up. You weren't even here, and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And he was down there laughing, having a good time, and I was sweating to try to represent,
right.
you know, some reasonableness. And it was interesting to realize that even little things like that, you know, shouldn't occur.
Right.
And it wasn't anything that you'd go to jail for. Mm-hmm. But I did write him in that morning, and I voted for both of us, you know, that day on the various things that were on the floor.
So the lesson learned there was to be a wingman, or did you do it after that?
No, to think it through.
Right, okay,
and
before you agreed to it.
I didn't do that, and it was sort of bad. But that was a time, really, when I had been with him so much that if he got sick, I wouldn't, you know, do anything but try to whatever he was needs, or if it's at home or at my home or whatever
right.
else.
Right.
Well, you know, we'd get together and do whatever we needed to do.
Right.
To stay on.
So it sounds like you all had a tight bond and a sense of camaraderie similar to other environments you had been in, whether it was band or the military.
We had, I think, an opportunity that's probably rare. Mm-hmm. And I can't say anything about now, but way back then, mm-hmm. The people that were there were genuine. We had some, have you ever heard of Heatley?
No, sir.
We had a guy that took over the money part.
Appropriations
appropriations. And he had a lot of friends. He had people, good friends in medical schools and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And he could call and get somebody in medical school, you know, because his name was on it.
Oh, wow.
But great guy.
Uh-huh.
He called me in the office after I'd been here about 3 weeks. And he said, Bob, you're going to be on my committee. And it was the finance committee. And I said, well, you're going to have to help me. And he said, well, that's what I'm here for. He said, and you're going to do what I tell you. And he said, he went over there and he opened up the window. There's a window there. And he just pushed the window up. Mm-hmm. He said, Bob, come over here. I want to show you something. And I asked him what it was. He said, look out all in front of out here in front of the Capitol. Said, you don't see any people out there with names from being big, you know, people that will throw money away and just, he said, you know, that's what you need to see. You need to see flowers, mm-hmm. you need to see trees, but you don't need
wow.
to see. And people like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought it was a fantastic deal. People like that who will go as far as it takes mm-hmm. to have whatever it is that needs to be done.
Right.
Done. He was that kind of guy.
So, and your re-elections, were those different from your first election? Did you learn anything?
Learned a lot.
Anything you want to pass on to the current legislators? Or?
The elections, mine was fairly easy, but it scared me to death. I had two big areas that Waco was a big area, mm-hmm. and then I was in Gatesville, a little town right next to where the Waco is, and then down in our area, there was another town down there, and until they got through with all the counting that night, on the election night, I was almost trembling.
Oh, yeah.
But it turned out that we had a sufficient amount because of all the work that we did, especially down there, because nobody would go down there and try to politic.
Right.
I got a real good deal on that. Uh-huh. And the people I was living there with in Gatesville, we all going to church, basically.
Right, so they knew
church.
You. Yes, sir.
But then all of that together made it pass, and then after that, it was easy because we sort of knew the steps of going to places that you need to be seen in so that you can give them whatever it is that you want to, you know, try to push the program that, you know, we think that's appropriate. And by doing that, and I didn't run for the fourth time because I was going to go back and go to college.
Okay, so during your time here in the legislature, you had the honor of being the vice chair of both insurance and then elections. How were those experiences?
Well, on the money part of it, it was sort of, Heatley was the one that had the control.
I mean, the
big bet. And he called a meeting before we were going to present the first deal back to the session. And he said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to pass this money bill, and we're not going to raise any money on anything this time. And when I sat there and listened to that, I said, well, we've got a problem. And basically, he said, okay, if you've got a problem, I've got a problem. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, he said, What is your suggestion? I said, my suggestion is that the guy that was running the program up at Gatesville, which was the school for boys, and it was a rough situation, real bad. One guy almost gave his life to in an instant where he was controlling the kids and they ganged him up, and it was a bad deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, I said, he's going to get a raise this time. And I did, just like I knew what I was doing, it was the first time, and I felt real bad about it. He said, I said we're not going to raise any money this time. I said I'm going to vote against it if you bring it up.
Right.
That was the only, he got that, he changed it and put that one guy with the money. I don't know what it meant probably another $500 or something like that to the man a month, because he had been whipped among those boys because there was inadequate, you know, coverage for everybody.
Right.
And it took him down and whatnot. And he had been doing everything, school time, work time, and everything else. He was out there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, as I said, that's what's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And just like I knew, you know, and I started to get up and walk out. He said, where are you going? I said, well, if we don't agree on anything, there's no reason to fuss about it. He said, we're not going to agree on anything. I said, well, that's fine with me. And he said, oh, come back and sit down here. He said, I'll just put that number on there and go on.
Right.
And I got one little old deal.
But that's big, though. That's
well,
big.
Well, it was to me.
Yes, absolutely.
It was to me.
So what was your interaction with the governors at that time, and what kind of a relationship did you have with him?
Oh, I have some pictures taken with him, you know, and that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. And we sat outside in the hall one time when he was there. And
which governor was this, sir?
What was his name? I put a little deal because I didn't have Conley.
Okay.
He was, you know, way above anything that I could do about, you know, social stuff and interest. He had interest in a lot of things that makes the world go around in the right way. He rode around, you know, in the car that was shot at when the president was killed up there.
In Dallas. Oh, really?
But anyway, while he was here, he was very gracious and interesting, and he didn't take that much time, you know, with individuals. But he had one time we went out to the northwest part of Texas. We had started one of those branches off of the school we talked about, and he went out there, and it was just like he was a different guy, relaxed, right. Hands in his pocket, right. Spitting on the ground, you know, holding up. And it was fantastic. He's a good guy.
And so how about your relationship and your interaction with the speakers of that time?
Well, speakers, let's see, Ben was a speaker at that time. Uh-huh. And he was an interesting guy. I'd been here for about a month and a half or so. And he told a girl to give me a note and that he wanted to see me. Getting away from here.
That's okay. If you can sit in a little bit, that'd be great.
Okay. He sent a note from me, from this girl, to come to his, there was a place downstairs for him to have a little cot. And I went in there, and he was in bed. And I said, what in the world are we doing? It's 8:30 at night. And you want to talk about something. I saw you yesterday. And he laughed and talked about it. He said, well, so I want to tell you something. He said, we've got some problems. And, you know, you need to be on the right side of things, you know. And he just did a little fatherly thing, right. You know, deal. And told me some things that was really helpful. And, you know, I always honored him and whatnot. I was sort of glad when that session was over, somebody else was there. But anyway, he was as capable of putting it as square as it could be.
Right.
Some things just have to happen, and you can't get all you want, and you have to do the things that are workable.
Right.
And I thought that was a sort of a pie in the sky thing where somebody, you know, would lay down at night after doing all his work, and it's 9:30 and whatnot, and I go in there and watch him smoke. And
so the next speaker, how was your interaction and relationship with him?
Good.
Okay.
I don't know anything at all about him, but good.
Okay.
Where is he now? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'd have to do some research. I'll find out for you, though, sir.
Yeah. I don't think he's alive now. I don't know. Something was said a few months ago that they thought that he was no longer alive, but I don't know.
Okay. After the interview, I'll get an answer for you. Okay. So now on to your sage wisdom and your tidbits for the current legislators. I know you've learned a lot over the years.
You're putting me down now.
No, sir. You've learned a lot. And so, you know, this week, I know you've probably seen on the news, we had the anti-sanctuary city bill, which has been a big issue for the state of Texas. And, you know, it's been highly contentious. Any advice you have for not just that issue, but the issues that we'll have of that magnitude that affect the state of Texas and interaction amongst members?
Well, the one thing that's more problematic, or was for me, it's not now, but the crossing of the roads on the people that have the two jobs. You have people in the House, people in the Senate, and if there's a aggravating thing for me is if you work real hard and you present something that's real good, and the people that have worked on that and know about it push it, and then the other side says no for political reasons,
right.
That's probably the worst thing that I think that would happen or had happened. And I'm certainly not in a position to, judge what they should or shouldn't have done, but that was the only real thing. If you couldn't get something that was out of our group. Our group was bigger than theirs in numbers, but you could get a deal going, and then on the Senate side, we're just not going to do it. You know, and that's hard.
Right.
And I know you can't get everybody to agree that whatever you believe in is right, and you have to give and take, but that's the only real hard thing about it. Most of the people, 90%, I'd say 90% of the people that I dealt with were still wanting to do the right thing.
Right.
And they might make a mistake and not do the right thing because they overlooked something or they had bad information or that sort of thing. But basically, it was a real good time to earn, to learn, you know, what people really are.
Right.
And way down, they're down here for something that's good, and they might be high-headed and that sort of thing, but it's the kind of thing that if they if you look back on it, we had a real good situation.
Mm-hmm. So any advice for freshman legislators? So since yours was so successful because you had people looking out for you and as mentors and that helped you with those first bills, making your district a success.
Well, you know, we moved our family down here, by the way.
Okay.
I had three boys, and we brought them down here and gotten a place to stay. But the thing that was probably as critical for the good running of the thing is for people to relax.
Okay.
A lot of the time, you know, you could have, and I know this, and I've seen this, and it's this way, mm-hmm. and you look at it, and it's not that way, mm-hmm. and you have to do it, you know, easily mm-hmm. to keep it fairly straight. And but we were blessed. There's no question about it. Three terms I was here. And I watched it a little bit after I left, and it started to turn.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think that the Republicans taking it over, you know, was that bad, you know.
Right.
But obviously, there was some kind of just a wave. Within 6 months, a time, there was three Republicans when I was first here in the first session. In last session, I think we had about 20 Democrats in the deal.
The tide's turned. Yeah. So how important were the House rules at that time?
I think...
The few that there were at the time.
I don't know. One of the most aggravating things that I'll ever mention about was I was the vice chairman on a committee. And we had a meeting, and we were having people come in, making their spiels and whatnot. And I was doing refereeing the committee at that time. It was the last term. And two people were on one side of me and two people on the other on the committee. Mm-hmm. And it was a deal having to do with money. Mm-hmm. And it just burned me down. I'm an old Baptist, you know. But one of them on one side passed a note to somebody on the other side of me that this was a money bill, mm-hmm. like there was going to be some income based on that deal. And that burned me down.
Right.
And I told them about it. And they still liked me when I got through. But, you know, that to me, that's the essence of of the position that people, you know, need to stay out of and have common sense. And that was the worst little comment I had to make to anybody out of the three sessions.
Right. So did you have any interaction with the parliamentarian at the time?
Nope.
Okay.
None at all.
So
none. Didn't want to talk to him.
And why didn't you want to talk to the parliamentarian?
Well, my deal was that, you know, if I can help, mm-hmm. I try to help, and if I couldn't help, I'd leave him alone.
Okay. Okay. Okay, so now you've said having the two chambers talk and have that mentorship and then, you know, having that moral compass. And is there anything else that you would like to pass on to the legislators or to those coming after you?
Well, I'm not really good and qualified to suggest that.
You're more than qualified to.
Yeah. My I think it boils down to common sense, and it almost, you put religion on one of those fingers, and it doesn't make a difference what religion is. Mm-hmm. It could be Ubangi, but if they Ubangi in a way that it doesn't hurt anybody,
right,
it helps
right,
people,
right.
That makes no difference. But we were, I think, very fortunate on our area of time that we had the opportunity to be down here.
Okay, last thing, sir. Please share some crazy or funny story that during your time here. I know something happened. Somebody slipped and fell. Something.
Well,
someone got arrested. Hopefully not, but
well,
it happens.
One thing that I thought was funny, we were invited over to the president's house down here in Texas, and he was up in Washington, where he's supposed to be. Uh-huh. And they got the women of the wives of the people that were here, mm-hmm. and took them on a bus trip.
Okay. That while you all went to the president's
while
house.
We were working. Uh-huh. And when they all got out there, the president came in that day. And the president said, "Well, this is great. I've never seen such all these women." He just went on like that. And they were all on the bus. And he said, "I'm going to go on the bus. I'm going to take you for a ride." So they took him for a ride back down in where the cows were and all that sort of thing. And then they came back up there. And when he got off of the bus, he said, "Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go in there, and I want you to look at everything my wife's got. And if you like it, that's fine. And if you don't, you might just throw it out." And he was, you know, just that kind of a guy. Uh-huh. And my wife enjoyed that. I don't know, little things like that.
Right, right.
With wives sitting around waiting on, you know, us to do our stuff.
Right.
And we had she had two or three trips like that during that time. Mm-hmm. But little things like that was really significant. You know?
Wow.
He'd walk by and pat her on the back, you know, and say, "Well, that would look good on you," or something.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, but
that's really cool.
But
personable guy.
President came down there and did that. So.
Wow, that's huge. Well, sir, I want to thank you. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for sharing of yourself today. Really appreciate it.
Well, you're real kind. I appreciate you putting up with me. But we've got a good thing going, and y'all have, and it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, I know all your friends and your colleagues are waiting for you downstairs.
These people that take these jobs end up doing excellent. Every time I've been around with them. I would give them.
Oh, you get something.